Hello and welcome back to the Loud Mouse Podcast. I'm your host, Quite, as always, joined by Wild Spartans.
Hi.
And FPS Diesel.
Yo, what up?
And today we have a very special guest, Leon Lesh. How are you, Tomato Man?
Hello, friends.
Is that your happy voice?
That was my happy voice.
Come on, more happiness!
It's
let's go!
More, it's a bit more sensual than I thought.
Wake up!
Right off the bat, Brandon's living up to the Loud Mouse title.
Can I get a little more, can I get a little more like 90s Eminem in your voice, please? Thank you.
Mom Spaghetti.
There we go.
There you go.
All right,
it fits
better.
In with the tomato thing.
There's
that's true. Story.
That is true. Yeah, guys, thanks for having me, man. Good
thanks
to be here. Happy to hear you.
Thanks for coming
voice.
On, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
And that's it for today's episode. We will see you guys next time.
It's really been great. Thank you so much,
you had a
guys.
Perfect segue to go into, like, your questions, and then you just froze up. You just
panicked.
Didn't say
well, I mean, even if I had a, even if I had a bad, like, even if I used that good segue, it would have been immediately ruined, so, like, what's the point? Either way.
Dude, softball, man. Softball.
Okay, here's a softball question, I suppose. I've seen you incorporate music a lot of times into your videos, and I was always curious, like, what your background in music is and what, like, you find most interesting about, like, putting it into your content and, like, how you like to do that.
That's a good question.
Thank you. I know.
I have quite a lot of history with music. I grew up in a very musical family. My mother's, like, an incredible pianist, and she's been involved in, like, religious church stuff her whole life, and she, like, plays the organ, blah blah blah. So I was raised with, like, classical music. She taught me piano for, like, 4 or 5 years when I was younger, and I was being homeschooled, little known fact there, I was homeschooled for a lot of my life. And then I kind of gave it all up because I just, you know, got into video games and girls and didn't give a shit about music until I got to college, and I, like, picked up a guitar, started playing that, and then after college gave that, or no, and then after college is when I started taking it seriously, and I bought a guitar. Like, I had a sales job. I made, like, more money than I'd ever made. I think I had, like, $3,000 in my bank account, which for me, I felt like I was rich at the time, and I bought, like, a rig, like a mic, a guitar, and I was like, I'm gonna be a musician. And I just, like, studied a John Mayer DVD and started uploading covers to YouTube. And the next thing you know, I was touring the world. I'm just kidding. They were fucking awful, but that was
well, but, thanks for coming on the podcast, Post Malone.
Yeah. but so that was kind of, it's just, it was a long process. I've always loved music. I've always sang, like, I just didn't really take it seriously, I guess, until I was, like, in my early 20s. And then after I started uploading to YouTube for, like, 2 years, 2.5 years, I had a bunch of covers up. And, you know, to my chagrin, I wasn't massively famous after 1.5 years of uploading covers. So I was like, fuck it, I'm going to join a band. So I joined a band and then just completely... Are we okay swearing? Are you guys...
We don't care. We talk about the worst shit too. Like, it's a miracle most of our episodes
you never
are monotone.
On YouTube these days. Everyone's trying to fucking put the porridge in their
don't
mouth.
Don't worry, it's January. Money was never an issue.
Yeah, I guess if there's any time to swear, it's January 2nd. Fucking hell.
If there's ever a time to get your video struck down by Ray William Johnson, it's now. Anyways.
Oh, fuck. What was I saying? Oh. I don't know. Oh, anyway, so I joined a band for a long time and, like, stopped doing YouTube and right around the time when I probably should have doubled down because I was a fucking idiot. And we're like, oh, I'll just, like, we'll do it the old way like they did in the 90s and just pound the pavement and play at bars and we'll get famous. And when it's, like, in reality, that was dead and the internet was just exploding. So the timing there was fucking sweet. But it was a great time. 5 years, 5.5 years in the band, did some tours, did a full length album and EP. And then, as time went on, I was like, yo, I don't think I see a future here. And I amicably left the band as I was settling down with my now wife. And I was like, all right, I'm going to take all this extra time I have now that I'm not in the band and reinvest that back into the internet. I'm going to give YouTube another try. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do, but I know I like music and I know I like being a fucking weirdo. And that kind of all just then over the course of several years, it kind of came together. I went through a lot of different iterations and phases, but music was always something that was like a backbone and something I loved. So I definitely was incorporating it more, I think, earlier on, like in 2016, as I first started to gain a little bit of traction. And as time's gone on, I've kind of slacked a little bit just because, you know, I've gotten into the rhythm of doing the commentary thing, and it's obviously, it's, you know, more, it's makes more sense to be able to make a 12 to 15 minute commentary and have that video do well, because compared to, you know, a 2.5 minute song, which takes 15 times the effort and gives you know what I mean? So it's,
yeah,
part of it was just for necessity, because I was really trying to grow the brand and grow the YouTube channel. But like you said, I do still try and slip little things. Like even if it's like a 20 second little thing where I'll like in the Christmas special, like the Christmas special I just did, I picked up the guitar and played like 20 seconds of a Christmas song, things like that, just to kind of keep it fresh. But interesting timing too, because do you, I don't think he'll care if I say, but you know Josh A, right? You familiar with him? So I just finished a feature on a song of his today, so he's got a new album dropping out that I'm going to be on, that I'm pretty pumped about, so that was a lot of fun. I did like a hook on one of his songs. So yeah, long story short, now that it's been 45 minutes, podcast is almost over. I love music. I'm passionate about it, and I'm constantly racking my brain in how I can continue to make more music content and integrate it into my content more. I just haven't figured out a way that makes sense as far as time constraints between, you know, wanting to upload at a regular interval and, you know, having a son and a family and all these things kind of pulling at my time. So I'm working on that, but I do love it. And when I make music, it makes me feel really fucking good. I love making music. It's a lot of fun.
That's good, man.
I'm glad you haven't totally given up on it, though, because it's like a lot of times people will get distracted and they'll just completely drop it.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And I think I feel like I'm in a good place right now going into this new year, where I've obviously had a pretty fortunate past 3 to 4 months, and I have a little, you know, some more resources now. I don't work my full-time job anymore. I'm doing YouTube full-time. So I if there was ever a time to be able to kind of get my shit together and put out, you know, a song or an EP, whatever it is, it's that time is probably now or over the next couple months. And, you know, I would like to get some people involved locally, like maybe as much as I love to produce and engineer all my own songs, I think I'd really be able to do a better job just having someone on board. If at the very least, someone that can like do like a music video or something like that. Cause all the shit I've done in the past is just, it's all me, and there's only so much you can do when it's just a one man show as far as having it look cool. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So that is my plan. I'd love to just find like a local crew in the Boston area that does like shoots videos, or, you know, maybe like a producer and collaborate. But I don't know anybody around here, man. There's like nobody. Everyone I feel like that YouTubes is out west pretty much, or in the UK.
Yeah.
There's like no
west of the UK.
And if anyone's listening to this and you're in the Boston area, fucking slide into a boy's DMs, baby. Let's get it popping.
No, there actually is no YouTubers like on the East Coast. I know down here in New York, there's like a couple.
Are you in New York?
Yeah, I'm in New York. But
it's weird. Like, I feel like the times I've been out in California, it's like you walk around, it's like everyone's walking around their vlog cameras.
Yeah, everyone's like, YouTuber here.
Welcome to today's vlog. Yeah, we're in Whole Foods and fucking blah, blah, blah. And it's like, over here in the Boston area, like when I'm walking around with the camera, people look at me like I'm a leper, dude. They're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. It's like you go out to LA and it's like you just so casually see like random YouTuber. Like we were on Venice Beach and like we just saw fucking Jesse Wellens. And I'm like, hey, it's Jesse Wellens. And then he gave me a dirty ass stare. Like he gave me the worst fucking look. Like he was like just death stare at me. But fucking like we saw him once, and then our friends saw him like 3 days later. Like
everywhere. We just saw him doing a photo shoot in a bike or something, like whatever the hell he was doing on his bike.
But and they're everywhere there.
It's so weird because it's like I know you from YouTube.
You're not
it's
supposed like, I'm just to be in real life.
You're not supposed to be in real life. Get back in the fucking screen.
Exactly.
And it just makes it that much more acceptable too. I feel like it's not weird when people see other people walking around with cameras in their face, where it's like it's still strange out here. Like people aren't used to it. They don't get it. I can't even tell you, since I've obviously, you know, when I quit my job about 2 months ago, that was when people that before that were just like, oh, this he does like YouTube on the side, and it's like a little hobby, like, and they didn't really give a shit. That's when people start to like get interested. They're like, oh wait, you could like, you're doing this for a job, like
you're
right,
making
now,
actual money off of this. Like, that sounds
wait,
good.
Wait, that's what I meant to say. Like the question I get is like, wait, you can make money on YouTube? I'm like, how fucking retarded? Like how do people not know this yet? I don't understand. Like what fucking rock? Or have you spent the last 20 years under where you can look legitimately say, oh, you can make money on YouTube?
Like, how many times has PewDiePie got to say the N-word? Like, come on.
Yeah, and this is, apparently everyone my age and all my friend groups, I guess, are just like fucking boomer Facebook scrollers. Because apparently,
they're like,
wow. I thought YouTube, yeah, I thought that's just how I learned how to germinate my beehives. I didn't know you could make money on there. I'm like, you fucking idiot. It drives me nuts, but it's just, it's fun. It's fun, man. It's a lot of fun because I'm, you know, I'm obviously like a little bit, I'm part of the older demographic, you know, like in the Ethan Klein age and the Keemstar age.
The boomer demographic.
In my 30s. So it's definitely a lot weirder for my friends than it would be for like one of you guys. Like everyone, like, you know, in their early 20s, they know about it. It's normal. Yeah. Like everyone wants to be a YouTuber. But for me to explain that to someone, it's like, oh yeah, I have a kid and a mortgage. And I left my, you know, stable restaurant job that paid pretty well to do YouTube. They're like, fucking, what? And then I'm like, yeah, bitch, fucking stacks. And then I throw fucking 20s on them. I'm just kidding. I don't do that. But...
Yeah, only 100s. Only 100s.
Yeah. I don't know how we even got. I don't know what the original question is that spurred that, but it's.
I think you already answered the original question. No worries, man.
Oh yeah,
yeah no.
But, oh, yeah. East Coast YouTubers don't exist. That's what I said.
Yeah, no. Like I love how everybody in this, like half this podcast is East Coast YouTubers, and Brandon's the only West Coast. Get fucked.
And I want to leave too because state what sucks.
Yeah, your boy's just extra dimensional. That's me.
Wait, one New York. Where is? Let's see. Who's in New York? Quite.
No,
Quite's in a box.
No,
I'm in a
Quite,
box.
SPS is in New York.
Quite is in a box in an unknown location, and Diesel's in New York.
You think this is...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Quite. Yep. Quite the whole thing with the other, I guess.
It's not a box and the no feet.
Quite
he gets very defensive about this. Don't push it.
Actually lives in a box. Yeah. It's kind of hot.
It's the debate still in the air whether I live here or if I'm held captive.
Well, I already know the answer, but I won't blow it for the audience.
Ooh. Spicy.
I will
hurt you. It's definitely, like... people to do music stuff with in Boston, though, because I used to live out that way for a bit, and there was tons of artists I knew. There's definitely, like...
No, you're absolutely right, and, you know, I spent, you know, 6 years in a band, so there's definitely a community around here with music. I was more in kind of, like, the local rock gigging scene. I don't know what the... And, you know, no one fucking gives a shit about that anymore. It's all about, like, young fucking SoundCloud rappers that are, like, online famous or whatever. And there is a scene, though. And part of me is I'm like, oh, there's no East Coast YouTubers, but 80% of that's just me being fucking lazy and not wanting to, like, make the effort to find people and network because I'm
that is
lazy.
Fair.
But, yeah. But no, I'll blame it on everyone else except myself.
I feel a different mentality on the East Coast. Like, everybody's just kind of, like, doing their thing. And it's more communal in California.
Yeah, I would say that's a really good way to put it. It's definitely more about the mentality than it is there's not people out here. I'm sure there's plenty of people out here doing videos, trying to make YouTube videos, but I don't feel like there's a YouTube community out here. You know what I mean? Like there is out west.
The only place that really exists, though, is L.A.
Like as far as the YouTuber thing goes?
Yeah, because if you go to San Francisco, there's like, I don't really feel like there's anything there, even though there's like offices and shit there.
Like there's people that do YouTube there, but there's no community of YouTubers. Like it's the same thing with London and UK. There's like one city where everybody coalesces.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, except the UK is a lot smaller, and then like it's really easy to get to London in the UK.
Yeah,
like,
it's way easier to get to London in the UK, but everybody chose LA as like the spot for YouTubers because people were trying to springboard off a YouTuber into real media, that it just became the spot for YouTubers to do normal YouTube stuff.
All right. Everyone wanted to like pull a Tyler Oakley, you know, and then whoopsie daisy, nobody gives a shit about me.
Yeah, and everyone's like, wait a second, what are we doing?
We're the new media. My social blog.
I think it's so funny because like there are people that make the successful jump from YouTube into some other form of celebrity, you know, like the Joji's, and I'm sure there's plenty of people, but there's, I feel like even more people that think that, oh yeah, after YouTube, it's like Hollywood's the next best thing. And then they fuck off YouTube and then try and be like a Hollywood celebrity. They end up as like some D-list loser and then try to go back to YouTube. And everyone's like, wait, who? Who's this dude? Like, what? Fuck you. You abandoned the only people that fucking like, made you relevant to go like do some dumb shit in Hollywood.
And they're just like, I didn't know how good I had it. They're trying to go back.
That's what I'm saying, man. YouTube's like, why the fuck would you want to do that? Like, literally, you can sit around and like smoke weed and drink coffee and make videos in your attic. Like, how does it get better than that? I don't understand.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't understand, like, even if you have like other other wants, like other things you want to pursue, why you, like, it's not like you have to stop doing the one thing to do the other thing. Maybe you have to balance it out more, but it's like, you don't have to like just full scale say, fuck off.
That is true. And it's, you see it. I get it in a sense because it does. I mean, when you get to that size of YouTube or like the Liza Koshy's and this shit, it's like everything's pulling at you. You have management teams and it's like you're just, you're doing appearances and you're going, you're traveling a lot. And it's like to do the normal like weekly videos, sit down for 6 to 8 hours and edit and record like that. I imagine that becomes very difficult. And I understand that. But I think it's so crucial to like, even if you do take on like a very serious venture, like that's outside of YouTube that, you know, you're trying to help your career out. Like, I think it's just so important to really stay in contact or just stay in front of your audience too, because they're literally the people that like gave you any opportunity you have in the first place. So to be like, hey, thanks guys for making me relevant. Bye.
We go
like,
star in this movie now.
Like, what, dude? That's the worst thing you could do. Like, so I don't know. I think there's a lot of people that take, you know, their audiences for granted, but who knows? Maybe I'm wrong.
Nah, I don't think
you're wrong.
I think you kind of have it on spot.
I don't think you're wrong.
I think there are certain, like, some people, like, overplay the balance of, like, the audience gives you everything, but then there are certain creators who just downplay that entirely. Like, there's a balance where you have to consider yourself, and you also have to consider the people who gave you the position you're in.
Yeah, remember Fred?
You do, and it is, it's all about balance, like you said. Fucking Fred, what is it, Lucas Cruikshank?
I think that's his name.
He's a vlogger now, and he's gay.
Lucas Cruikshank. Imagine that, Fred Gay. Never saw it coming. said nobody ever. Yeah.
He uploaded 3 years ago. What the fuck?
Dude,
his main channel is just Lucas now, and he uploads like weekly vlogs.
He just has kids post videos for him.
Yeah, it's like he sold it to a brand that took up the channel.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I mean, like, it was pretty much fucking worthless at that point. But, like,
In
his defense, though, he probably made a shitlode of money.
He has a vlog channel, too, with, like, 3 mil subs, and it's actually not doing bad.
Wait, is this it right now? You just linked that in the chat?
Yeah, he gets, like, 100k views a day.
Wait, he still gets views? What the fuck?
He makes vlogs now.
Well, I'm really impressed.
My mind is officially blown.
I'm really impressed. I didn't know.
Somehow he got the fucking Lucas YouTube channel linked. Like, damn, he got the OG, bro.
Maybe because he's Fred.
Yo, Lucas Cruikshank is just a handsome young lass, isn't he? I wonder if all of his comments are just like, do Fred.
Oh, he made a video with JoJo Siwa. Neat.
Oh, God. I don't think I've ever seen a JoJo. Is it Siwa or Siwa?
It's Siwa. It's Siwa, I think.
Yeah.
I just say Siwa because it's easier.
All right. Well, I'd agree to disagree, but whatever. I'm just kidding. Listen, I've never seen a video from her, but just from what I've seen, like pictures of her, I know that she's probably the loudest person on the planet.
Have you? Oh, no, she absolutely is.
Is she? Am I wrong? Like,
you're 100% right. And then her intros, like, you can't understand what the fuck she's saying in every single intro. Like, she'll mumble, like, new video every single Sunday! Like,
I'm literally gonna pull up just, like, 15 seconds of a video right now.
Believe me, we've tried to replace every member of this podcast with her at one point or another. It's funny.
God,
it's
her
funny.
Her car is on point, though. It's absolutely fire.
Shut the fuck up!
Oh my god! I'm 8 seconds into her car tour vlog, and my fucking penis just went inside of my body. I'm so fucking, and that's not like a sexual, that's not a sexual thing. That's just like a everything I fucking hate about YouTube vlogging thing it's jammed like, into the first 7 seconds.
It's a fucking defense mechanism, dude. Like, your dick's in danger around that shit.
I feel like a turtle that just like saw a fucking like a wolverine and just sucked back into his shell.
Squirrel use
wolverines
withdraw.
Eat turtles, apparently. I don't know. Anyways, yeah, enough about about JoJo.
Take a look
Sawa.
At her car. Take a look at her car.
Did you see that thing where Justin Bieber just started roasting her?
Yeah. I was like, I was thinking while like I was looking at his apology tweet. I'm like, is he fucking wrong though? Like,
no, not even close. And not. I wish he didn't apologize either. It's kind of funny that he did.
He didn't really apologize. He just said, I wasn't talking. I didn't call you ugly. I just called your R ugly. Your car ugly.
Yeah, he's like, nothing against you. I just
colors fucking
and
hate your car. Like,
it's so
fucking gross. Like,
I'm surprised she can even fucking drive.
She's like, 15. She can't.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
She can drive with like a permit in some states. I'm not sure if she even can in California. Yeah. Can she drive in California?
She needs a brand new car to learn how to drive. Yo, 15 and a half. Learner's permit.
In California?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So she's probably right there then.
Yeah, she's probably just got a learner's permit.
Fair play to her though, because she then like uploaded a picture of her in her car with a Justin Bieber cardboard cutout in the front seat and captioned it "Burn it," which was pretty funny.
I don't know why I know these things.
I should not know this much about JoJo Siwa's actions online. But sometimes you're on Twitter and you find yourself down the strangest of rabbit holes. What can I say?
Like, I made a video on her once, and like one of the weirdest things in her channel is the amount of like parents who supposedly just drop their kids off at her house for her to babysit. It's fucking insane.
Dude, that happened. Like, that's like an issue with a lot of big YouTubers.
Yeah, that happened to Jake Paul, too.
Yeah, like, hey, can you babysit my kid on short notice? What? No? Okay, bye!
Or even like, parents coming during the holidays and be like, oh, it's like the only present my daughter wants is to like meet you, like your idol, like, and they just show up at these people's house. And it's like, dude, you're an adult. How the fuck do you not understand that's not okay to do?
Oh,
fully know that they're just going to guilt trip them. And they're going to, because it's like when you're like a kid and you call your mom and you're like, Mom, can Jacob come over? And then it's like your kid's right there. And then it's,
I get it. Like, they're guilt tripping the parents, but there's a difference between, like, having your fucking overweight little friend Jacob come over to the house to play with army men, or, and then, like, showing up with a random stranger of a famous person's house.
Yeah, what I was talking about, like, it was, like, entirely scripted for vlogs, but fucking, like, the people who go to James Charles' house are so fucking weird.
You see it all the time.
I saw a video with people fucking, like, there was a person who made a video, and I'm pretty sure they were against James Charles for saying people shouldn't come to his fucking house. It had like 11k likes and like almost zero dislikes. I was in shock. I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, like just because you're a YouTuber now, like you're not allowed to have any privacy on your own fucking home? Like, what is the fuck?
Yeah.
Sorry, brother. You're a YouTuber, not a person.
I don't know how anyone could possibly argue that. But it is interesting though, because, you know, maybe we live now, we're in an age where the idea of privacy is kind of becoming less of a thing. Like, you know, I grew up before the YouTube era, but I'm thinking about kids that are like 10 or 11 or 12. They don't know anything else but, you know, these people that live their lives on camera every moment of their lives. So it probably maybe doesn't seem weird to them to just be like, oh, I can just go over their house because they're just vlogging every single day and blah, blah, blah. It's like people don't understand that, like, even people that daily vlog, that's like still a production. And then when the camera's not there, you have like your personal life. But I guess it's different for every YouTuber. I can't imagine fucking daily vlogging, dude. I would want to die.
Yeah, I mean, on the thing with privacy, it's like, I think privacy is pretty much gone at this point. Like, someone knows everything about you. Like, there's one person in this world that knows everything about you. It's either, like, Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg or, like,
it's all those guys.
We really do live in a society.
Okay, go fuck yourself.
Okay, bye.
That's a 2018 meme. since this is the Leon Lush podcast, I want to ask Leon, what music do you listen to? What do you enjoy listening to, being a music man?
Well, let me bring up my Spotify real quick just to give me an idea. I will say this: since streaming music has become so mainstream, like, I was on Spotify like the second they released the beta in the United States. Like, it originally was released in the UK because I believe that's where it was founded. I was on right off the bat streaming music, And since that's happened and music has become so accessible, like the joy of like having a new album drop from someone you love has really gone out the window for me. So now I'm just a lazy music listener. I like pull up Spotify and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna let Spotify fucking curate a playlist for me. What kind of mood am I in right now? Like, ooh, sexy 90s, oh fucking sick, or some shit. So it's like, to my own fault, I wish I spent more time finding good music, like underground music, but there's just so much of it now. It's like, how do you decide what's good? But let me give you a little rundown here. Most recently I added Tiny Meat Gang to my playlist because I fucking, yes, that No Flex song is dope, love those guys. I have the Home Alone soundtrack because it is the season. It's up here.
I'll get to it.
Oh, it's next. I have the new Arctic Monkeys CD, which is, I've got to say, it's a lot different than their old shit. Not a huge fan. I know they got a lot of backlash for it. I got the Mumford & Sons, the new one from them, Delta. I got the new Muse. I got Ballads by Joji. I got the Denzel Curry, so we're getting into some rap now. Astroworld.
Ooh!
Got some Mac Miller, some Hoodie Allen, who's a friend of mine, follows me on fucking Twitter.
Okay, Buster. I know him personally. Great music.
Yeah.
I loved Hoodie Allen when I was 13.
Hoodie Allen actually is good. That I
no, like he's genuinely sick.
No, he is. Yeah, he's fucking talented. He's funny. He caught me totally off guard one day. He sent me a message. He was like, "Yo, me and my girlfriend watch all your fucking videos. We fucking." I was like, "What? What?" So that was fun. But anyway, so of course I have to listen to him. I actually, you know, I listened to him before that, but that just made
contractual
it more
obligation
fun to listen
now,
to him. Yeah. Oh, and then some Fallout Boy. I have a huge like soft spot in my heart for like Fallout Boy, Panic at the Disco style emo shit. Like even My Chemical Romance from like the 2000s. I don't like to say that out loud. I'll rock some My Chemical Romance from time to time. I listen to everything, to be honest with you, is what I'm trying to say. I love it all.
Do you listen to everything?
What's that?
Do you listen to everything?
Everything. Yeah, I listen to classical sometimes when I'm driving. Like, I'll go from classical to trap. Like, I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, everything's all a band.
Okay, all right. All right.
Oh,
is this like an inside joke? I don't know about
every guest we have, I always ask.
Okay, so I don't listen to country music.
Who does?
I don't have anything against it. I just think it's fucking dumb.
sounds like you got something against it.
And, you know, I'm sure there's some fringe genres that I'm not really familiar with, but there's not a whole lot that I really dislike. Like, I guess.
I respect that.
And I think part of that is like, even these days, like with someone my age, like with like Lil Pump, you know, the new rap music, it's like, oh, this mumble rap, there's no talent. It's like, these guys are so fucking dumb. All they do is flash chains and nobody's talented anymore. Nobody raps. They just mumble, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, I understand that line of thinking, but I try to look at things like that objectively and be like, all right, well, why then, if it's so bad, is it so fucking successful? And I'm always intrigued by why things take off the way they do. And I have an appreciation for them because of that. So I might not necessarily find any musical merit in, say, a Lil Pump song, but I can watch his Escadet video and be thoroughly entertained by it and not feel bad about that.
Yeah, fair enough. You know? When you were younger, like, would you say there was like a Lil Pump equivalent where it was just like very vapid that like isn't going to have any lasting power even as a niche?
Oh man, shit. When I was that age, it was definitely like, it was probably more, that was like the boy band era, like the Backstreet Boys, the NSYNCs. And they were kind of like, you know, the girls loved it and the dudes thought it was cringy back then. And, you know, looking back now, it's like they're still fucking touring to, it's funny that they still do tours. And I just picture the audience of like all like 40-year-old moms just like singing like Backstreet Boys and shit. But I can't think of like, I can't really think. I'm thinking this is probably 90s, right? Because I was 10 to 15 years old in the late 90s. And I don't know. I can't think of anything like Lil Pump equivalent. I listen to, you know, I love 90s rap. Like 90s rap is I can listen to all day long, like Notorious, Tupac, fucking like shit, Mobb Deep, The Quiet Storms, and Wu-Tang Clan, Jedi Mind Tricks, like all this shit. Like I love that stuff. So I do listen to a lot of that. And you just don't, I'm sure there's still good rap like that coming out today. But like I said, I don't, unless you take the time to find it, you're just going to get served all the topical bullshit, really, which is kind of what I let myself get served.
Yeah. From my point of view, it's like there's always been like that really vapid shit no matter what period of time you're in. Like back in the day, Caveman Beating Rocks, that shit was fire. But it's like...
Oh, definitely.
It's just like... It just changes what that vapid stuff is. And the vapid stuff can still be like fun, you know? But it's not particularly fulfilling, I suppose.
Yeah, I feel like no matter what era you're in, there's always going to be that, you know? Like, look, you have, like, the Rick Astley's, like, the Never Gonna Give You Up, like, that meme song. Like, at the time, people were like, this is the dumbest shit I've ever heard, maybe. Or it was, I don't even know, that was even before my time, but I think you're right. There's always going to be music that is, I guess, I don't even know how to say it, like, fulfilling or provocative or thought-provoking in some way. And then there will always be the shit that is just very skin deep, strictly for easy consumption and to appeal to the masses. And those things just kind of mutate over the years, but they're always both present.
Yeah, I think
it's probably more common now, though, given the internet and like
people can post whatever the fuck they want. Internet culture definitely changed everything, because before the internet, this was another thing, like. Like I was saying, with accessibility to music now, like before the internet, before Napster, before MP3 pirating was like a big thing. Like I went through that when I was a kid. Like I was one of the first kids in my neighborhood to get Napster and like was downloading MP3s and like making mix CDs and selling them at high school. And before that, though, it's like everything was curated for you. Like you didn't really get to choose what you listened to unless you went to like a record store and really dug deep to find something cool. But other than that, like the radio, MTV, everything else was curated by these major labels with big money. So like you're only going to listen to what they want you to listen to.
Lil Pump and is that the everything, artist of the people.
Yeah. And that's kind of the fun thing. Cause you know, he was the type of guy, I'm sure he's, you know, worked deals and stuff, but now it's not so much about the music as it is about being a social media personality, really. Yeah. The music is kind of second to that, for at least for a lot of genres.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it makes sense because that's the easiest, you know, it's fucking... It's crazy that, you know, the idea that... When I was young, kids, it's like, oh, I need to get a record deal. I have to be found by a label or something, and you'd... Who the fuck knew how you did that? Like, there's so many gatekeepers to get to even have a chance at that. And now it's like anybody can fucking pick up a guitar.
Now you're better off not going to a record label for the most part.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, the record industry is I don't even know.
It's like an MCN.
I'll tell you how they're still in business. They fucking claim every video on fucking YouTube. That's how they're still in business. It's the only way they make money, I swear to God.
How do you actually deal with all those claims? Because I know you get claimed a lot more than I do.
Dude,
personally.
It is. Well, I spent like there was a good up until like 2 months ago. Part of one of the things I loved to do in my videos was include like 3 to 6 second clips of songs that I love, right? As like transition slides. Mm-hmm. And just to give people like a little flavor. And I'd always get comments like, oh my God, I can't believe you know them, or I can't believe you love them. A little bit of flavor I like. And so I have this whole back catalog of videos that have, you know, 3 to 5 second clips of these songs that I knew were copyrighted, but I was always under the impression that, you know, due to fair use, you can get away with a 3 second clip of a song.
Yeah, you
and
totally should be able to.
And
to
you
be,
should.
To be clear,
and
yeah.
You
100% should.
100%. But now, apparently, there's no recourse for these music labels that are just blanketly claiming every single thing that has even a whiff of a copyrighted work in it. And I've definitely felt the wrath of that. What I've spent a lot of time the last month is actually going through my catalog, the ones that have been claimed, and I have to go into YouTube's editor and I'll like, you can replace the audio in your video with something from the YouTube library. So I have to go in and like painstakingly find the insert and out point of the actual 4 second clip. And let me tell you, YouTube's editor is absolute dog shit. Like it's laggy, it's impossible to do it precise. And then, like, I'll just choose some bullshit song from the YouTube library and replace it. And then I'll appeal the denied appeal from UMG. And then, like, they have, like, these four sections where you're supposed to, like, talk about why it's fair use and, like, what portion of the work you use. And in every second, in every section, I just write, I deleted the copyrighted work. Fuck you. Release my fucking claim. And then I just send it. And I'm still, I have about 15 of those pending right now, so we'll see. But, you know, for a lot of older videos, it's like, you know, I hate the idea of losing that piece of music. Is it insignificant as it is? I hate the idea of having to get rid of it, but I, you know, it's an older video. I'd rather just still collect a little bit of money because your back catalog adds up, man. You're getting views all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like, if you chop away, you know, 30% of that, it's a big hit on your income, so... So you won this round, UMG, but I hope that building burns to the ground.
Yeah, I had one video claim by them, and I was like, oh, that's not a big deal. It's one claim. And then, like, I appealed the claim. There were, like, four more on the same video. Like, they claimed the same video five fucking times.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like,
sure.
The problem
sure.
with UMG is they've gotten fucking cocky. Like, it was one thing when it was, that's like, what I'm saying, one video yeah. every now and then. But, like, now they're going fucking apeshit, and, like, people are getting mad because of it. So now they're going to get shit on for what they're doing, which, because they brought too much attention to themselves.
They hired people. I had a friend sent me a link to job listings. UMG was putting job listings for people. They were hiring people specifically to sit in an office all day and watch YouTube videos and claim videos. That's the only thing they
did. You're fucking kidding.
I'm not kidding you. They hired an entire office full of people that sit and watch YouTube videos to claim content owned by UMG. And clearly, they didn't give them any... Their approach is, all right, we'll claim every single thing that has any sort of copyrighted content in it, regardless of, you know, fair use.
Yeah.
And then we'll just let people appeal it if they think it's, you know, if it's fair use. And the problem there is you appeal it and then they deny your appeal. So then as a YouTuber, you're then up against, all right, do I appeal their denial? In which case they either have to strike my video, release the claim, or they strike it or release the claim. And if they strike the video, okay, now you have a copyright strike. And in order to go further, you have to be willing to take legal action. It's scary for a lot of YouTubers because you're fucking, you know, you're just doing, yeah. you don't have the resources to
do it. Nobody wants to take legal
UMG,
action either.
Right? But from my understanding, and I think what people need to do, and if it is legitimately fair use, like one of the songs, one of the videos I had was, it was a 1 second clip. It said, "Who can relate?" Woo! From a Logic song. That was all
and
it was.
They claimed it?
That was it. 1 second. And they claimed it. And they denied the appeal for fair use. So I just went through the motions. I'm still waiting to hear back. Either I'm going to get a copyright strike, or in which case I'm going to continue to appeal. Because I've talked to a few YouTubers that have dealt with over like hundreds of copyright claims. They run really big channels. And they say that 99 times out of 100, these companies will take it to the very last step, but they will eventually drop the claim when they have to take legal action as the next step, because they're not willing to spend money on a case that they know they're going to probably lose, right?
They also have to provide proof that they're going to take legal action.
But they know that they can just bully these YouTubers, because YouTubers hear suing and legal action and scares the shit out of them. It scares the shit out of me. I don't blame them. Like
anybody. But it's like...
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
You know, UMG's got lawyers out of the ass.
One of these days,
none of us have fucking lawyers.
They're going to sue the fucking... like the type of guy who would sue H3, and they're going to be like, fuck it, let's go. And they're going to lose, and they can't, and they won't be able to do it anymore.
Yeah, dude, I hope so, dude. Jesus Christ.
It doesn't help that YouTube's fucking copyright system is awful, and you can claim literally anything, even if you don't own any part of the video.
About a guy like who was an indie game studio. Their game was used in Sony's PS4 trailer, and their trailer for their game got claimed by Sony as their property.
Love it. And it's like, and then like Ray William Johnson took down Hoover's entire video. Like he didn't even get segments for his clips.
I saw you guys all this Ray William Johnson is over party and shit, and I'm curious, like, is he that much of a washed up cunt that he's literally taking down people's videos?
Like, that is the only thing we could think of, because like, okay, so the video didn't get a strike. I got a claim, right? But he blocked it in every single country, and the name is exactly what his new channel's called. And it's like, we couldn't, and it's like, it doesn't make any sense for it to be anything else.
What was like, the main content of Hoover's video?
We literally, we were in a group call, and we would, we'd like watch his old music videos and make jokes.
Like, it was a lot,
like that
was
the
video. It was using a lot of his old content, but it was easily fair use.
Yeah, like the whole thing was basically a commentary on his old music. And like, there was even a whole segment where we had Quackity was in the video. Quackity does music, and he had like a whole minute of him just talking about what he can do to improve his music, because he made new music that sounds like it's from 2011, by the way.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And there was like a segment where he just talked about it and what he could do to improve it, and then the video just got blocked in every single country off of a copyright claim.
You wonder, is this somebody on Ray William Johnson's team, or is this Ray William Johnson that's literally sitting here watching this video?
That's
like,
what we thought.
Like a single tear just rolls down his face.
Do you think RWJ?
This guy, no.
Do you think he can afford to watch?
I think it's that. I don't think he has a team.
I don't know, man. Like, yeah, he's kind of like, he's a ghost on YouTube, but like, he was massively successful back then.
He
like,
has
massively.
He has, so okay, so I looked into it, and
like, there's
it
no way he's
yeah,
not.
He's
got to like,
be
okay,
okay
right
but,
now. There's no way.
Oh, I mean, I'm sure he's okay, but like his new channel doesn't like get over 50 to 100,000 views. Like that's about the range it has.
But I'm saying like he's definitely diversified. Yeah, probably most of his income. Stocks, like I wouldn't be surprised if YouTube was not at all a main source of income.
The thing is though, is
or owns,
okay,
like
so,
a media company or something. I mean, he's done a lot of shit.
So okay, so I looked into it a little bit because I was curious. So I think his comments are unlimited, so he can accept comments and they have to get approved, or he just removes a bunch because he barely has any comments in his videos with hundreds of thousands of views. And then he never uses Twitter. And if I'm not mistaken, he turned off, what was it? Hoover sent me something about his Instagram comments.
Interesting. He mentioned me in a podcast he did like a month ago.
Oh, he limits comments on certain posts.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called the King of Influence.
What's his name? Yes. His name's Phil Epic Lloyd. Epic Lloyd. Yeah, that's who it was. Yeah, I watched the segment because like they brought up the whole Extreme Games thing was kind of blown up at that time, and they mentioned me in the video I made. And I don't know, they were just like, it was cringy to watch them. Like they seemed, I don't know. Like I hate saying this because like I'm probably like,
just say it
as old or older. Just say it. They just seemed like out of touch, and it was like they were trying to talk about stuff that was like relevant to the community, but just seemed so, I don't know. It was like difficult to watch. I don't know. I'm like, God, I hope I don't sound like this when I talk about shit's going on.
That's
in the community.
Exactly the conclusion we came to, because like he made a song called My Life is Dope.
Five months ago. We were sat in the fucking PAX house and just watching a shit ton of old Ray William Johnson videos and just thinking, damn, he old.
He really hasn't like grown out of
having this conversation
was,
like me, Diesel, true. And Brandon all very well know we'll be in the exact same position, but we're not yet, so it's funny. We're all,
dude, I'm gonna be a boomer.
What are they gonna call
I'm gonna
us
be a boomer
like,
when I'm
what
almost
are they
40?
Gonna call us
oh,
when
hell
like,
yeah,
100% we're the next generation's equivalents of boomers.
They're gonna call
there's
us millennials
be an easy word, easy
even
word
though we're
millennial.
Not a millennial.
Zoomer.
Dude, you guys, think about that. Think about what it feels like to be 33 right now, bro.
Sorry, Buster. It is a mindset. There are boomers younger than me.
That is true. That
yeah,
is
Diesel's
true.
A boomer.
Yeah. You're totally right. Fuck yeah, dude. Oh, it's,
yeah, you're only half boomer, Leon. I'll give you that. You're half
boomer. Yeah, dude. Totally half boomer, but
you're the
other
bridge.
Half
you're
of
the
me
bridge
is fully
of,
invested in
between
YouTube
two
culture.
Worlds.
You're the bridge.
Oh, that's why I keep Nigel around, man. He keeps me fucking. Well, I have no idea what he keeps me, but. Yeah. Hostage. He gives me a reason. He always reminds me to, like, just not really give a fuck at all. I'm like, you know what? The second I start caring about something, I'm like, yeah, I have a bunch of videos of me fucking a monkey doll online. I don't really care. It just fucking brings me right back down to earth.
Oh, fucking Christ.
Oh, I can't wait till my son sees
like
those,
how on that topic, like how do you like do you while, have like good. A way you're planning on introducing like your career to your son when he's older? Like do you plan on like trying to keep it from him for a little bit as he grows up?
Oh, Yeah, no, definitely. That's like a cross that bridge situation. I haven't thought about that yet, but I'm fully invested in the fact that, like, I have no shame. Like, I'm totally, like, you know, on the surface, yeah, I'm like a father, like, maybe does some questionable things as far as, like, his style of humor. But ultimately, it's like, you know, I've made a little business for myself. I'm supporting my family very well, like, doing something I love. So there's a lot of, like, things going on behind the scenes that are just, like, core values that I really value a lot. So I hope that I can eventually kind of teach that to him, be like, right, it's not always what's on the surface, but, like, look kind of, you know, look at what I did. Like, I worked hard for something. I did pretty well. I have no idea what the fuck I'm going to be doing, you know, when he's of age. Like, hopefully I'll be still involved, obviously, in the online community, whether I'm doing another channel, continuing this one. I don't know. I have a lot of ideas of how I want to continue these next several years, but yeah, I don't know. It's a funny thing. Like, I get a lot of comments like, oh man, I can't, like, you, I just love to think about the fact that your son's going to grow up and see this one day. And there's no denying the fact that, like, if he's, like, fucking in fifth grade one day and, like, one of his buddies pulls up a video of Leon Lush from 2016, like, that's going to get awkward real quick. But I'm going to, like, teach him and kind of, like, give him the self-confidence to learn how to deal with those situations.
Yeah,
and,
like,
I mean, I don't know. He's gonna have the coolest fucking dad on the block, dude. So what's the big deal?
Like, if kids try to bully him for his dad being fucking sick, like, you know what I'm saying? Damn, losers. Those guys are boomers. Those fifth graders are boomers.
Loser.
Fifth graders are fucking boomers. I'll be 45, like, making a YouTube video on my son's, like, fourth grade bullies.
Yo, fuck this little shit who's bullying my kid. Look at his fucking buck teeth.
Yeah, see this little kid Jimmy? Yeah, this is his school picture right here. My son brought it for me. This kid fucking wets the bed. What a dumb little piece of shit he is.
Look at him, he has braces. Look at his fucking braces.
I heard his heard his dad hasn't come home in 14 years. Waiting. What a dumbass. Ooh, little Jimmy, my dad ran out to get some milk.
Let this
never
podcast
came
be a warning to all of you
fucking dumbass
bully.
You're
gonna get fucked. Either, like, your son is either Jesus gonna Christ. Like, get made fun of, or he's gonna have the ultimate my dad can beat up your dad.
Yeah. No, I think, but it's interesting though, because I don't know. It depends. I just have no idea how he's, like, I feel like I'll be able to hopefully raise him in a way where it's like, it's whatever. Like, he'll be outgoing, lighthearted, but yeah. I don't know exactly how my kid's going to be. You can't understand genetics. Certainly a lot of how you raise a child is environmental, but there is a big genetic piece to that as well, as far as how their personality is. But I mean, all I can do is just try to, you know, instill in him the best values and the confidence and all these things that I value in myself. And then I really, at the end of the day, I think it'll work out fine. And I think too, like, depending if I'm doing this as a career and, you know, God willing, if I can have the good fortune to continue to do, you know, what I do now in a sense, in some capacity for several years moving forward, I mean, he's going to see that, he's going to be involved in that. And, you know, he's probably going to be, you know, a better YouTuber than I am by the time he even gets to school. Like, I don't know, like, I'm not going to, you know, I don't plan on really daily vlogging, but I definitely want to get involved in doing some stuff with him. Probably, you know, more family friendly shit, you know, that stuff that makes big money on YouTube. It's just a little side job to the whole Leon Lush operation. So we'll see when he's old enough. Basically what I'm saying is I'm going to exploit my kid for money.
We're back.
He lied. He's lying.
I went rogue. I'm curious how you're going to edit this in the actual podcast.
I'm not editing it.
I'm just going to cut out the midsection and then just, like, squish it all together.
Yeah. Are you going to keep my little? I forget what I even said.
He kept talking.
I'll have to see it. Like, I'll have to listen to it.
Yeah. Also, see if it's worth it.
I mean, we were just screaming. I say it sounds.
we were like full blown panic mode. Like when you left the call.
Yeah.
Gotcha, bitch.
I do hate you.
Okay, Leon, what was your experience like being in Mr. Beast Circle Challenge?
Oh, it was very good. Very good experience. Very glad I did it. It was interesting. It was like, I don't know, like you spend so much time just kind of like in your routine of recording videos in your home and uploading the internet, to actually go somewhere and be around all of these big YouTubers was like a pretty fun experience. Obviously, it was interesting because, like, you know, you have your Rice Gums, your FaZe Clans, who, like, a lot of these people who are very shunned in the commentary community, you know, and I've made diss tracks on Rice Gum and shit in the past, and people whose content, let's just say, is less than savory for people like us. But you see them in real life, and they're decent people. And not to mention, like, I got comments like, "Oh, I can't believe you fucking like gave Rice Gum like a handshake or whatever."
I can't believe you touched that film.
I was in his house. Like, was I just supposed to show up and like kick him in the dick? Like, what was
it's like typically when we make videos, like, at least my thesis when I go toward it, like, my philosophy approaching videos on making people is like, typically I'm not trying to make some big statement, or like, I'm usually just trying to poke fun. I'm not trying to like do it at the expense of anybody, more just like
That's exactly the way I see it. I consider like most of the videos I make kind of like a Comedy Central roast, right?
Yeah.
I'm doing it to try and entertain people. I don't really care if the other people make shitty content. They're happy, they're more than willing to do that. There are certain cases where it's like, all right, you know, if you make a video about some dude that's like grooming children as a pedophile online, that's a serious problem.
Sometimes there are things that like genuinely piss me off, so I get genuinely pissed about them in videos, but like that's few and far between.
Right, exactly. Like 9 times out of 10, it's just like a piss take, you know? So, but a lot of people on the internet, they don't get that. They see these big rivalries and they're like, oh, these people hate each other. And it's like, man, it's like, it's YouTube in a sense. So yeah, when you see them in real life, it's like, whatever. You're not going to be cordial.
Yeah, a lot of the time it's just kids who think it's real or like think it's super serious.
Yeah. You're right.
Like Hoover and I. Okay, so Hoover and I did like a little back and forth on Twitter, and like I'd copy a KSI tweet and then adjust it a little bit, and then he would copy a Deji tweet, and the amount of people that like were like, "Is this real? Is this real drama?" was like disturbing.
I'm sure you guys doing that
because it was like obviously a copy. Like I started one of the tweets with Buster, and they're like, "This is legit drama."
Like Buster might have not given it away, but if that didn't, it should have been the Despacito cover.
Yeah
It's like Buster, not that's how I start my real tweets, with Buster.
To answer your question though, the experience was awesome. Mr. Beast is like one of the nicest people I've ever met. You know, it's interesting, like I feel like now he's better off, but like even when the reason I knew him in the first place and even had a relationship with him is because back when he was like counting to 100,000, I made a video on him like I always do. And I'm like, it was a piss take, but it was like, I joked about, oh, this, you know, Mr. Beast is the savior of YouTube, like fucking doing all this dumb shit, but he's getting all these views. Like, and it was funny, kind of like he reached out to me after that. I was like, oh, it was funny. And like, we always kind of kept in touch. And then this many years later, to kind of go out and do that and be a part of that was kind of, to come full circle, was really interesting. But he's an incredibly nice guy. He takes care of a lot of people. He has a huge team that works for him that he takes good care of. And he's, as far as YouTube goes, he, like, say what you want about what kind of content he creates, he's a fucking genius, like, when it comes to YouTube.
Oh, for sure.
Like, his videos are 100%. Fucking great anyways. Like, who cares?
He's a fucking, that's what I mean. He's a prodigy. And the reason I love him so much is, like, people can say what they want, but the dude's, like, giving millions of dollars away, and, like, no, he's not, like, dropping it off at homeless shelters always. I don't know, he does dump some shit with homeless people, but he's, like, he's giving money away to people that, you know, could probably use a little money, and he's using that, the viral nature of that, to create viral videos and then taking the money he makes and reinvesting it back.
Yeah, he's using the money to make more money.
And he's investing a lot of it into his community. I saw fucking $25,000 because of that. That's a lot of fucking money for me. It's a lot of fucking money for most people.
Yeah.
And it's like, and just like, you know, money aside, like the whole experience was really fun. Just to, you know, standing for 31 hours with a weight vest on was not fun, but the camaraderie, the bonding, just seeing everyone there, like, it was such a spectacle. Like, so many people were stopping through. Like, it was just a really cool experience I was happy to be a part of, and then to come home with 25 racks in my pocket was just a super bonus on top. So that was fucking... I know I saw you guys, you actually had an episode of The Loudmouse a few weeks ago about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hadn't listened to it yet, but were you guys talking shit about how they allowed a deal to be struck at the end?
What? No. I didn't.
No, I think
those are pretty common Mr. Beast videos, aren't they?
Yeah, that they do
like,
it all the time.
I watched most of his videos. Like, I was like, that was seem pretty typical. Like,
that's like the one criticism I get from most people is like, oh, I can't believe they struck a deal. Or everyone in the comments is like, I would have never left that.
Oh my God, more people got money. Who? Oh my fucking God, how dare they?
That's what,
like,
that's
fuck
what
off.
I mean. That's what
we
I mean.
Talked about it a couple of times. And the way we first introduced it was like, so who do you think's going to win and why is it Leon?
Yeah, I swear to God. And I know I can't say, like, it's like, yeah, I took the deal. So I can't say that, oh, I would have went on to win. But I definitely would have went on to win if I stayed.
I agree.
No, I had some left in me. And, dude, two of the kids there, Danny and Alex, two of the other dudes that were part of the four that took home some money, they were both, like, the whole time, like, the people I was worried about because they were both a little unhinged. Love the dudes to death. Both great kids. Danny Duncan's content's a little crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, Christ.
But they were like there's no deals. Like, I'm here to play. Like, if I don't leave with $100,000, I'm not leaving with anything. And the fact that, like, they got to a point where they were, like, entertaining deals. Like, for me, the whole time, I was like, yeah, whatever. I'm just going to wait it out. I'm going to, like, see how things go. I know I'm going to get down to the money round when money starts to get talked about. And I'm open to whatever. That was my mindset. But these other two, they were like, no deals, no chance. And when they started to, like, entertain deals, and they were like, all right, you know, maybe I could tell they were like, Danny Duncan was like, he was playing it cool, but dude, he's 145 pounds. He had a 65 pound weight vest on, but he had been standing for 31 hours. I had the same amount of weight on, but I have a 280 pound frame. So it was like wearing a fucking sweater.
You were like sleeper, you know what I'm saying? You were like sleeper pick, so, for sure.
Yeah. So the part of me, so my mindset was once we got down to the four, it was like, okay, I'm confident in myself. I think I could continue going. We were heading into the second night. It would have been a long, cold night. Shit would have started getting delirious because we hadn't slept in, you know, 30 hours. It would have been going on 40 if we went through the night. I feel confident that I can do this, but two things. A, what if a fucking stupid mental mistake and, like, I don't know, I put a knee down or something happens, I haven't slept in 2 days, I fuck up, or like a calf cramps, something I can't predict, I go down, I leave with nothing after 40 hours, right? That's tough to go home from. Or I could swallow my pride and be happy that these other three dudes I'm in the circle with right now, who you kind of build a camaraderie with because you're in there for so long, I'm happy that they're also able to make some money. And you know what? $25,000 at the end of the day is a lot of money. So that was kind of the mindset. And everyone kind of came around on it and settled on it. And I'm very happy with the outcome. But I can understand from, like, a viewer standpoint, like an entertainment standpoint, where it's like, you know, Gladiator, like Last in the Ring. We want to see fuck. We want to see blood.
We want to see death.
So I totally get that. But when you're in the ring, and that 25 staring at you, it's like, yeah, that's the fucking, it's the smart
It's
play.
Like, I've been here for a long ass time. I haven't slept and been staying the entire time.
I just wanted
time.
A fucking beer.
Yeah, it's not like you're sitting. It's not like you're sitting either. Like, you're standing there. Like, that's exhausting. You know? I get annoyed standing in line for an hour.
I remember, like, seeing Alex, like, in, like, the pool of contestants, and I was like, oh, shit. Because I don't know if, like, Leon, you might have, but I don't know if Diesel and Brandon have seen his videos. Like, in every piece of media he appears in, he's exactly the same as cold and unhinged as he was in that Circle video. And I was like,
yes.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. Like, if you see him in David Dobrik's vlogs, he's just, like, always silent, like, ready to kill something. In his own videos, he's so fucking dedicated to his shit that he'll blow up his own car just for the sake of a bit. Like,
100%, yeah, and I knew that. I had watched some of his videos. He makes great videos,
too. They're fantastic.
He does awesome work. And that's why him and Danny were, and Juke Squad, Jack Tenney, were the three people I was really worried about going into it. And Jack made a crucial mistake the first night, thank Christ, so he was out of there. And then it was just Danny. And Casper Lee, who was, I did not expect, nobody expected to see him in the Final Four, but credit to him for fucking sticking it out and getting part of that pie. But it was definitely an experience I won't soon forget. And I don't know, it was just certainly fun. Not only the, you know, the money and the experience, obviously I got some exposure on YouTube and some subs and helped push me over the million mark, which was pretty cool. So all around a positive experience for me.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a lot of fun.
Do you guys want to try and get around to some viewer questions?
Yeah, we should, so because it's been an hour.
Yeah, there are a few. Like, it's mostly just people saying, ho-ha, lol, faggot. But
Yeah, it's typical. Ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone asked what my workout routine is. You think I have one?
Brandon is stop drinking soda and then he loses 500 pounds.
Yeah, wait, just they specifically said what Brandon's workout routine
yeah.
is?
They didn't ask generally. It's just like, here, what's Brandon's workout routine? Hope you guys got a good year, by the way.
Listen, yeah, dude. Leon, I don't know. Like, I think it's been a minute since you last saw Brandon in real life, but if you see him again, like, he's not going to look the same. Like,
because he's fucking... I've seen this with a lot of YouTubers. I haven't seen him in real life in a while, but you're right at the age where, like, your fucking balls drop and you're... Well, your voice already was deep, but
that
I don't
already
know
happened.
Either you gained 100 pounds or you, like, lost a bunch of weight. I don't know which
I one. Lost weight. I didn't gain 100 pounds.
He lost so fucking much. Like, it's kind of scary.
That's crazy. So you're just, like, you're, like, growing into it now. You're taller. You're, like, tall and, like, that's pretty... I'm proud of you, dude. I'm happy for you. I can't wait
Thank
to give
you.
You a fucking raspberry right on your stomach, navel.
That's going to be fun. Can't wait for that. Yeah.
I'm going to fill your fucking belly button up with Elmer's glue and smear it out.
What the fuck?
All right, dude.
You're lucky, you're lucky he just turned 18.
Wait, whoa.
You're lucky I'm 18
now. Are you 18 yet?
You're lucky I'm 18.
Like, he just turned 18. You got fucking lucky.
I was like, bro, when we were at VidCon, dude, you were like 16. I'm about
yeah,
to catch
16.
A charge real quick.
You're lucky I'm 18 now.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man. That's fucking hilarious.
Yo, man. So that's good, though. So that's why they asked, though, because they must have known you probably dropped a bunch of weight.
Yeah.
He's always going to be fat to YouTube.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
100%. Yeah, I mean, wild cheeseburger, man.
Yep.
Cheeseburgers are good.
Wild fat ass. You'll always be wild fat ass to us.
Can't deny it. All right, what else you got? What else?
Someone asked, have any of us ever regretted doing YouTube or starting YouTube?
Is that going to be a unanimous no?
Never a time that I regretted it. Certain times when the downsides of it like were never clear, but like because they exist. But I'd never regretted starting it.
Yeah, I haven't really regretted starting it, but I definitely have had moments where I've like been like, what would I be doing if I wasn't doing this?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
What would I have I ended up doing in my life if this never existed to begin with? Like not just if I stopped, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. Don't regret starting. But it does, it, like, leaves a lot of questions.
Well, then, if you didn't do YouTube, you'd be asking the other thing. It's like, what if I did do YouTube?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, you know? That's the thing. Yeah. Like, no, I think ultimately it's like, no, definitely no regrets there. The only thing with, like, YouTube, as far as, like, if you're doing it as a job and supporting yourself with it, it's just so
it's sporadic.
I guess, yeah, sporadic and, like... It's. I hate to say it's like stressful because it's like you make videos for a living.
Oh,
you
people are
gonna
be like
that?
That's not stressful. Yeah,
but it's like I'm super blessed to be able to do this for a living. But it's the unknown that's stressful. It's like my channel could get deleted for something.
Yeah,
bullshit.
That's the
like,
only thing that's
week.
Like stressful.
That's the stressful
yeah.
shit. Like the making yeah. videos and shit. Like I love that. The stressful thing is how fucking stupid YouTube is, but how fucking awesome they are at the same time. It's such a
Yeah, like people
power
people,
dynamic.
I mean, it used to be on YouTube you didn't really have a boss, but now it's more like YouTube's your boss. Because
no,
like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, they'll tell you what to put in your videos and what not to put in your videos, and then it's
yeah,
like, you don't comply. Your channel's gone.
Sorry, yeah, your channel's gone. Oh, you're sorry, you're not making money on this one. Yep.
Bye, bye, Monkey Jones.
So, yeah, dude, all that shit. It's kind of crazy, but
fuck.
So yeah, when you think about you know what's YouTube going to look like in 5 years, I have no idea what's going to look like in 10. I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm certainly going to need a fucking job in 10 years, so if YouTube's not around, I better have figured something out by then.
Yep.
And for me, I mean, I can always, you know, I worked a long time in the restaurant industry, and that's a skill that I can always fall back on if I need to. I pray that I never have to work in another restaurant again.
We better hope Amazon.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's not like I won't be able to get by if I had to. But for someone like Brandon, who's probably never fucking held a job outside of making
Bingo.
Fucking videos.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
God bless you, bro. I don't know what the fuck you're going to do if YouTube shits the bed.
This has been his job since he was 15.
I'll wing it. I'll wing it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you got to do. I do feel like part of me feels very fortunate that it took me until now to really have a little bit of success online. because I have accumulated so many life experiences and skills that if YouTube were to disappear, I would feel totally okay.
Yeah, I think I heard this once, but like the later on you are that you get recognized on YouTube, or whatever, the better, because you always have more experience, whether that's just your videos are better from all the years you've been doing it, or just like life experience in general, so you can apply that shit more.
Yeah, I think that and also just like being able to stay grounded. I don't know if that maybe sounds stupid to stay, but like...
No, I think you're right.
I feel like a lot of people that find a lot of success online very quickly at a young age, it's really tough for them to have perspective like on real life, I guess. And it's not really necessarily a fault of their own. It's just kind of the way the world is now. And it's like someone like JoJo Siwa, like... She's a kid. Like, she was famous when she was like 12. I mean, how the fuck is she going to become a normal adult? Like, she's not going to be. She's going to be fucking weird, some bullshit, turn into some fucking sex addicted drug addict, or like some shit. I mean, it's the same shit that happened with like child stars in Hollywood back before the internet was even
like
a thing.
Miley Cyrus.
No Hollywood child star like didn't have like drug problems or something. I don't know. So it's just interesting. So I guess all I'm trying to say is, yeah, I feel fortunate that I'm fucking old.
Yeah. With the, you have the, experience, I suppose, to make full use of what you've been given at your age now.
But, and it's not to say like you learn a lot of skills when you're doing the YouTube thing too. So I think Brandon would be fine. He'd find something else to do. And that goes for a lot of people.
I'll edit videos on the street for $5 a piece.
That's the hope. Right, he could.
I'll move to LA and just live on the streets.
He's at like Times Square, like selling fucking thumb drives of old Wild Spartans
he
videos.
He could apply his fucking doctor algorithm skills.
I love it. I love it.
DoctorAlgorithm.com.
Okay, is that, are we good with this? Because we've been recording for like an hour and 10.
I'm reading through. I'm looking for good questions. God. Leon, you are an absolute unit though, right? So
you
go to the gym, right?
Hell yeah, yep.
What's that like? And first of all, how the hell do you even go to the gym when you have a kid and a, like YouTube? Like, what the hell are you doing?
It's a very fine balance, but it's worked out now since my kid he goes to daycare 4 days a week, which is great because that's like the one thing in my life that is like a set time, so I can schedule things around that. Like when you know, for the first time in my life working for myself, it's like, oh shit, I have to literally make my schedule and decide when I do everything. Like I don't have a job I have to report to. So to have that daycare, I drop them off. I go to the gym after I drop them off the daycare, fucking eat my eggs and vegetables, come home and then work for the day. So that's like my little schedule. But the thing with the gym, a lot of people like, I don't know. A lot of people want to work out. They want to get in shape or whatever. And they're, oh, I don't have time or something. And it's like, you know what? You do have time if you really want to do it. That's true for anything in life. If you want to do something, if you say you don't have time, that's just an excuse because you don't really want to do it bad enough.
Yeah. You can make time for stuff like that.
100%. 100%. It's all about your priorities.
It's going to be effort to make that time work, but it exists.
100%. It's not going to say that's easier. You won't have to really pull some fucking strings to make it happen. But if you truly wanted to get to the gym 3 times a week, I don't care if you have 17 kids and a fucking cocker spaniel that has AIDS, you can find a way to do it. You'll be able to find a way. But anyways, yeah, working out. Like, listen, I went to college for 4 years. I got an exercise science degree. Like, that was my area of expertise as a collegiate attendee. And I've always had... Fitness has always been a very something I'm very passionate about. It ended up that after I graduated college, I realized it wasn't something I wanted to do professionally. I enjoyed doing it for myself, and I have always enjoyed working out, not only because of, you know, the health benefits and, you know, making an effort to look nice. It just the mental boost you get, the mood boost you get, I think, from working out is ultimately what I love about it so much. Like, it just, when you are in a routine and you're working out, it just, it makes you feel better. You have more confidence. It all trickles down into other areas of your life. So by no means am I in great shape right now. Like, I'm not immune to the fucking 30 pounds once you're married and have a kid that slaps on real quick. But I can still throw a couple of barbells around here and there. So I feel pretty good about it.
Damn. See, Brandon.
I just don't want to go outside.
So now, like you lost a little bit of baby weight. You lost a little baby weight. Now you need to get in the gym and throw some slag iron around.
I just don't
want to
go outside, dude. Like, I don't want to tell you.
Brandon, next time I see you, I shouldn't be able to beat you in arm wrestling.
That's true. You beat Diesel, too.
I beat both you and Diesel. That's, what does that say?
You're just, like, a really compact, like, muscle. Like, you're like a snake. You just beat your meat a lot.
Snake. You fucking snake, muscly snake.
Motherfucker thinks I'm going to squirm up his ass any day now.
Yeah.
Now,
do you work out, FPS?
Yeah, no, I'm a power lifter, or I say I'm a power lifter. My bench is shit, but squat and deadlift
are
pretty good.
So, all right, so are you doing like one rep maxes, or you'd like to do a lot of cow and palm movements?
No, I'm working up to my one rep max for like this cycle, and then I'll do a rest week, and then I'll just progressively go up again.
So I only ask because I actually used to competitively power lift when I was in high school. I have a couple of New Hampshire state records for the squat, bench, deadlift under my belt. A little trophy on the mantle, no big deal. But yeah, so it's a little passion of mine. I'm just kidding. I sound like such a fucking loser. Oh yeah, I had a fucking.
If there's anyone you're gonna impress with that, 17. It's me. Like.
Like, I'm trying not to say the 2018 meme. I'm trying not to. I'm doing my best here.
I'm not saying I have to beat the girls away with a stick, but any girl with a big clit seems to be attracted to me. I don't know what it is.
Okay. Lord Almighty.
Maybe it's time to end. Is that the cue?
I think that's the outro cue.
Diesel, go.
Who's that? Jesus Christ. Yeah, this has been the Loud Mouse Podcast. I don't even know what the fuck to say after that one.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, Leon. Bye, guys.
You can find Leon link down below. You can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, everywhere that is music, except for Spotify right now.
It's hard. Spotify's hard.
Yeah, you can find us out on the internet. Make sure to subscribe to the channel, all that lovely stuff. And,
hell yeah.
We'll see y'all next time.